wake up to a cooing dove outside my window. We ignore the hum of the city, the passing bus and its exhaust. And on my walks, I see the squirrels and blue jays lay claim to fields of green as dogs frolic and play among the leaves. I swirl around the people, little ants, and march myself onward, but there's a living thread pulling me forward. I wait for a train while a black crow stakes its claim. High up in the tree, he scans his land, and I am only one of many on which to land. I step out into the rain and dodge the worms. They live here too. Everywhere I look, and at most times of the day, I'm surrounded by the living. They call me onward, show me the way. My pumping heart, it lives for this, and keeps on ticking to see another day along the living way. And when I don't know what to do, what to say, or how to live, I look around the city's forest and find that my small fret is solely that, a blip in the living canvas, a speck of angst, and not enough to call or name. Not enough trouble to cast trouble or seek blame. I'm just one among the angels, and the majesty's still there. If only I can open my eyes to the fluttering wings, the cobalt sea, the green moss growing on the ancient trees. I have a chance to breathe among these living creatures, to be amongst them, and I feel grateful for every living clumpful. I'm about as city girl as you can get. Born and raised in Manhattan, I'm sure you hear my New York accent. No stranger to loud sounds, jostling people, and fast walking. But I'm also deeply connected to nature. Surprising? And even right now, while I'm taping this, there's both an airplane, an ambulance, and this squawking blue jay outside my window. So there's a lot of noise in New York City. I try to get it out and when I edit this, but there's noise all the time. It turns out that there's also a natural path to tread, to take in this big city as we seek out nature. So today I'm talking about the part of our lives and souls that is connected to nature. How being in nature comforts us, teaches us, holds us, and how it can be an unending source of wellness and serenity. Welcome to Let the Verse Flow, a show that takes you on a creative journey to inspire your personal growth. I'm your host, Jill Hodge, a business writer by day, a poet, music lover, and journal enthusiast all the other times. Part performance art, part self-help, this show is unique. So let me show you rather than tell you. But first, please note, the opinions I express here are my own and not a substitute for professional help. If you need someone to talk to, please reach out to a mental health professional. Now, sit back and relax and listen to my reflections from the bright side of the beat. Like most people, my connection to nature came at a young age. You know, after the class pets that we had and the home pets that we had and the fascinations with butterflies and worms and mud pies, I was around 15 when I went to Cape May, New Jersey for the first time. And back then it was a sleepy little seaside town along the Jersey shore where the waters meet Delaware. So where the waters of New Jersey meet Delaware, and it's really rich there. The ocean is rich with clams and horseshoe crabs and many other types of fish, dolphins, as these little piping plovers pecked along the water's edge in big flocks. These were new animals for this city girl. And I remember the real joy that I felt as my feet dug in the sand and I explored the shoreline for hours. You know, I was a moody teenager, and I needed this, I think. But there was deep happiness in these activities, and I knew somewhere that this was my place. You know, the water just called me, and I was just delighted to find out that after all the wave jumping and the dunking and the swimming that I had known, I could spend hours along the shoreline exploring these little creatures that would wash up. And Cape May, because the water is so rich, there would be lots of things on the shoreline to look at in those times. There were shark egg cases. I remember those black shark egg cases that lined the shoreline. There were overturned kind of horseshoe crabs that had died, and you could look at their legs and that spiky tail. There were shells and pretty sea glass back then, half-eaten crabs among, you know, seaweed strands, and large clam shells that I could claim and take home. And it was the beginning of my love affair with the ocean and with water in general. It was the beginning of an understanding of the beautiful ecosystems that I had been born into, and I felt connected and a part of them. And for a teenager stuck in her own little sort of years of torture, it was an escape that felt natural and just right. But on this first trip, I'd noticed dolphins would come out in the morning, and then again also around the twilight hour. I would just sort of see like a fin every once in a while, and I was like, I was just amazed by that, and I wanted to see more, and I was determined to see one closely. You know, I was catching a fin or two out past the breaking waves, but I'd scan the horizon for what felt like hours, and you know, who knows how long a moody teenager can do such things. But one day, while we were walking toward the lighthouse, I was walking with my mother. We were walking to the lighthouse, which was an object that was so far away that only city tourists would think it was a good idea to walk. You know, town folk would look at us really strange as we told them that, you know, well, we're going to take a walk to the lighthouse. But we didn't care. We loved it and we needed it. We needed that time with nature after so much city life. So on this particular day, we'd stopped to give our like aching calves a break from the sand walking because it was kind of a trek. My mom was sitting down and I was standing. I was facing the water and it was very still at first. But then I spotted the first dolphin and it was closer to shore than others that I'd seen. Like it was right past the first breaking wave line. And I screamed. I literally screamed for my mother because there were more and they were on the move in a big, big pod. And they were at what felt like almost like arm's length. I mean, it was further than that, but it felt like you could touch them. It was an experience that was close. And there was this huge pod of dolphins passing by. And in this pod, there were large ones and medium ones and even babies that were jumping through the wave tubes. And it was just incredible. We walked alongside them as they traveled south, and it felt like it would never stop. You know, there were just hundreds of dolphins, probably, I don't even know how many hundred, but several hundred dolphins in this pod because they were everywhere. And I had seen maybe five, you know, all together before this. So this was like an army of them. And it was all passing us by in these leaps and zips and gliding fins. It was a spectacular sight. And I was completely overjoyed. And I literally cried on the beach. I've never had an experience like that since. That kind of crying where you're just like overwhelmed, overtaken by this joyful feeling. My mother was holding my arm and bearing witness to the beauty and the majesty of this just really large group of dolphins. And it was a defining moment and one that I'm happy to say I've never forgotten. I've never tucked it away and let it go. It's forever connected me to the ocean in a way that has never gone away and reminds me that we are meant to connect in this way. We are meant to see our lives in the context of the living earth that we share with all of these incredible creatures. that we may never fully understand, but that we coexist with. You know, there is a knowing that we have when we are with other humans that we don't and can't have when we are with these animals. And it is a mystery that I'm happy exists. I really love learning about animals and other living things, but what I'm most connected to is just knowing that they exist and that they live out their lives sharing a common space with us. I'm telling you, after that experience in Cape May, this city girl was never the same. There would be many years of dolphin watching, swimming, shell collecting, and investigating dead critters along the shore's edge after that. But it all started, really, with that pod of dolphins. They opened my eyes to the power of the natural world and the freedom that exists and the way our parallel lives kind of play out. So now, whenever I feel down or even a little moody, I try to remember that this passing transitory phase is just one small event in an incredibly vast and beautiful world. And when I remember that, things don't hurt so much. You know, problems become just a little smaller and my perspective widens. So how did I, a city girl, find this natural connection and what would it mean in my life? You know, it wasn't that I was searching for nature either. It sort of came upon me. It snuck into my life at this unexpected moment, and then I realized how much I needed it. So today I want to just kind of explore, what's our connection to nature? What purpose does it serve? And how do we bring it into our lives to help us put troubles into perspective and kind of broaden our view, make us feel like we belong to something bigger? We could start at the beginning. You know, our evolutionary journey has primed us to be connected to nature. Early man understood and used the tools of nature for survival. You know, understanding how to hunt or building things from natural, to make natural tools or to understand plants and animals, even understanding weather patterns. We have an ancient legacy that connects us to this earth. And while it may be buried under our convenient lifestyles right now, it's there. And it's like a visceral living pulse if we want to tap into it. And I think we should. I think our connection to nature speaks to and kind of satisfies an inner consciousness, you know. And no, I'm not being crunchy, you know, when I say this. Although there's nothing wrong with being crunchy. What I mean is that our nature connection is of us. We evolved through it and we're made of it. And we can't just untangle ourselves because we developed into cities. And if we want to return to nature to enjoy its therapeutic powers, we are returning to ourselves. We're not venturing into some foreign land, you know, or some foreign space. So we're connected through, many cultures are connected to these sort of ancient traditions of our natural world. The Japanese have a practice called Shinrin Yoku, which is also, which translates into forest bathing, which is a practice of walking slowly through woods or forests in an immersive way to reduce stress and using your senses to mindfully engage with nature, inhaling the forest air, listening to its sounds, and, you know, kind of fostering an emotional connection to the environment. And I read, it was interesting, it turns out that the Japanese developed this practice in the early 1980s when they were faced with a growing kind of public health crisis among workers who were breaking down with anxiety and stress-related illnesses that they thought were related to urbanization and overwork. Shinrin Yoku, or forest bathing, became popular and a way to kind of counterbalance that. There are Buddhist origins to forest bathing, and this mindful connection to nature is thought to have healing powers. And I don't think we need much evidence to imagine that awakening your senses to, like, a beautiful, lush forest is intrinsically good for our minds and bodies and spirits. It seems completely intuitive and natural to me that we need these connections. We are not so disconnected from our origins of early man, and Around the world, there are traditions of interacting with nature that hearken us back to our need for this connection. In the show notes, you will find some of the articles that I read while making this episode, including one on the health benefits of the nature connection. I also linked to a categorized list of research findings on the mental and emotional benefits and the physical benefits and even the pro-environmental benefits of connecting to nature. So check them out if you want to read some more. And back in the United States, we have only to look to our native peoples to understand a fused identity between humans and nature. For Native American peoples, there was no separation between people and Mother Earth, what they called Unchimaka. And on the Native Hope website, I found a wonderful explanation of this connection, as told by Chief Seattle in his treaty oration of 1854. He was translated to have said the following: "Every part of this soil is sacred in the estimation of my people. Every hillside, every valley, every plain and groove has been hallowed by some sad or happy event of days long vanished. Even the rocks, which seem to be dumb and dead as they swelter in the sun along the silent shore, thrill with memories of stirring events connected with the lives of my people. And the very dust upon which you now stand responds more lovingly to their footsteps than yours, because it is rich with the blood of our ancestors, and our bare feet are conscious of the sympathetic touch." There is sort of a comfort and sense of belonging that he's speaking of here that is really beautiful to me. As he was at risk of losing that connection, the threat of that loss was probably weighing really heavily on him. And I just think it's a really beautiful way to explain this connection. So see the show notes for a link to this article and more on Chief Seattle. The seemingly dumb and dead rocks that hold memories of stirring events, the blood of our ancestors, and the sympathetic touch of bare feet. Speaking like this from a deep connection to the earth reminds us that we are all connected. And I think that when we forget that, we deprive ourselves of home and our emotional connection to nature, which can strengthen us against all of the coming storms of life. And I've written a poem about this connection. It's about how a rock in my shoe, a dumb and dull rock, reminds me that even with a mildly annoying disturbance, I can let nature in to revive me. This poem is called The Living Thread. A rock wandered in my shoe along the corner's edge. I twisted my ankle, poked, and shook my foot with a purpose of dislodging. It would not leave, but stayed a hanger-on. I changed my walk around the rock to lightly tread, and as I walked, I thought, how free I am to roam the edges. And mud and leaves and twigs and rocks are free to come along. And so are birds of prey that span the sky. They search as I, in search of living food and light and air, deep breath. Welcome, travelers. We take up space and tug the ends of the same living thread. As we live in this modern era, we may ask, what purpose does nature serve for us now? How do we bring it into our lives, and can it really help put our troubles in perspective, as I've suggested? And I would say that its main purpose is to connect us to our ancient ancestry and the continuing human story. So it reaches into the past and it moves through to the present. And once that connection is made, it opens the door for us to take a more holistic view of our life story. You know, the good times and the bad times, and put them into perspective. I do this by being mindful of the ways that I am connecting to nature throughout the day or the week. And the two daily rituals that most connect me to nature are time in water and walking in nature. I tell you, I've got to be related to early fishes because I love water in all of its forms. I love showers and baths and swimming in pools and oceans and walking in streams and soaking my feet. You know, the first thing I do when I get home is take off my shoes. And what do my tired feet say to me? They say, "Can we have some water, please?" If water is nearby, I want to get in it. So when I visit Hawaii, which is one of my favorite places, I try to go snorkeling at least twice a day. Once a day is not enough. I'm pretty greedy this way. So I have these hour-long or more stints in the water, and they are incredibly reviving to me. And I carry those times in the water with me throughout the year. So I'm very, very mindful during all of my snorkeling time in Hawaii because I try to create sort of mental sensory snapshots of all the animals I see and how I feel, my breathing, everything from those times in the water. So since my dolphin sighting, I've swum among all kinds of fish. My favorites are octopuses. You can probably tell from everything from the cover art for this podcast to my website, there are octopuses and sort of symbolism related to octopuses everywhere. And interestingly, the plural of octopus is not octopi, but octopuses, because it's a Greek word and not a Latin derivation. That was kind of interesting to learn. But anyway, I've seen and enjoyed octopuses, but I've also seen moray eels, sea turtles, seals, stingrays, all very up close and personal. And every time it has left me with such a rush of connection and wonder. I never felt more alive than when a huge sea turtle swam past me. Yeah, and he was going faster than me. Yes, it was in Maui, and it was incredible. One minute he was there. I mean, close, like, I mean, I easily could touch him, but I would say he was, you know, maybe he or she was, you know, maybe just a few inches from me. Or when I was in Oahu, when a seal kind of zipped past me, that was really fast. And that was amazing. A little scary. It was kind of incredible. But these were thrilling, like really close encounters that were also life defining in some ways, you know, meaning that I put other events in the context of these two and how I felt during those two events. You know, it helps me be more aware of how trivial some of my fretting can be. You know, for example, I remember the big moments in life and let the trivial stuff kind of float away. So it's very helpful for perspective building, I think, time in nature. Also essential for me are long showers and walking in nature. I walk to and from work through the park so I can get to enjoy small interactions with nature each day. Often when we think about our childhood, you know, in our playful times, we remember our connection to nature. So think about this. What calls to you? Is it oceans or forests or mountains, farms, lakes, maybe caves, valleys, streams, backyard tree houses? Return to them. Make time for them. Put down the phone. Detach from the screen and the chores and the to-do list to spend some time in a green space. And even the ritual of a good shower or bath can reconnect you to nature. And you deserve that time. And you may find, like me, that something deep inside you starts to stir. There's a knowing that this connection was meant to be, that you are where you belong, and that all your thoughts and troubles are smaller in the context of the grand ebb and flow of the natural world. Let it restore your connection to this internal knowing place and feel the comfort of living among all the creatures of Mother Earth. Try to find a natural setting for your journal writing this week. And open up to your connection to the natural world with these prompts. The first one, which of your senses do you get most pleasure from? And how is your sensory system engaged in your favorite natural setting? Prompt number two, pick up a few items from your next nature walk and write about what you chose to keep and why. How are you connected to these items? And third, write about a childhood memory you had in nature. How did this nature connection affect and change you? We know how to bring ourselves back to nature. It is ingrained in our DNA, in our connections to the land that feeds and nurtures us, and to our place as one living thing among many. Bring yourself back to nature during times of stress or struggle and widen your perspective through the interconnectedness that you feel toward it. I hope you find a natural path that comforts and revives you as you make your way back to the bright side of the beat. Thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And speaking of subscribing, head over to lettheverseflow.com and subscribe to my companion newsletter, the Me Time Mixtape. This free newsletter offers three essential hand-curated links to creative self-care tips, tools, and strategies that you can use today to help put yourself back on your to-do list. The podcast inspires, while the Me Time Mixtape tools help you put things into action. Check it out, the Me Time Mixtape at lettheverseflow.com. I'll see you next time. Don't forget to stay on the bright side of the beat.